Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. Proverbs 18, 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18, 10. Deuteronomy 31, 8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31, 8. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Revelation chapter 11, 16 and 17. In reality, that's a joke because I'm not going to be through with verse 15 for a while. But I do want you to see verses 16 and 17, and so we'll be looking at that just momentarily, and then we'll move back into verse 15. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize how wonderful and great Your plan is for all of us. We're here because You've allowed us to be here, and we'll be here until the time You take us home. And so during that time, we pray that we will keep our focus clear, our priorities straight. We will love You supremely, respond to You faithfully, study Your Word diligently, that we might be able to function according to Your divine plan. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading in Revelation chapter 11, this time with verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord, the Almighty, who art, who wast, because Thou hast taken Thy great power and hast begun to reign. Stop right there and be aware of the fact that that is the end of a verse, verse 17. Verse 18 presents information in relationship to the last part of the millennium, where we have the unbelievers. These are children of the individuals in the time of the millennium, who do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They are the lost of the tribulation. When Satan is released for a period of time, that will be the time of what is known as the Gog-Magog Revolution. So you keep that in mind as I'm now reading verse 18. And the nations were enraged, angry, hostile, and Thy wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to Thy bond servants, saints, the prophets, Old Testament, and to the saints, and to those who fear Thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Verse 19, and the temple of God which is in heaven was opened. The ark of His covenant appeared in His temple. There were flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. On the screen again, you see the timeline, and it is important for us to get this indelibly imprinted in our minds. A study of the dispensation is a very important study for all born-again believers. We have on the screen again the presentation of the dispensation of the Gentiles, Israel, the coming of Jesus Christ in the age of Israel, being born, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, being resurrected. We have what is known as the intercalated period, which is the insertion of the age of grace, where you and I now live. At the end of the time where you and I are now living will be what is known as the resurrection of the body of Christ, which we refer to by the word rapture. At the conclusion of the age of grace, there will be the beginning of the tribulation, which is a continuation and consummation of the age of Israel, 7 years. At the end of the tribulation, of course, you're aware of the fact that we are not on the earth. So there is the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. That's not on the earth. And then down on the earth, there will be the battle of Armageddon. There's the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire, as all of you perhaps know by now, is the down payment on the lake of fire for all unbelievers of the tribulation. I realize that I say those words rapidly, and oftentimes you may not hear them distinctly. The baptism of fire is the down payment on the lake of fire for all the unbelievers of the tribulation. We've already emphasized the fact that there is a cleaning up time, and that cleaning up time is mentioned in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, where you have a period of time known as 30 days and a period of time known as 45 days. And when you add those two together, you have a total of 75 days. So there will be a period of time of 75 days after the time of the beginning of the millennium when the Lord is in the process of doing some cleaning job. So you can read that for yourself in Revelation, in Daniel chapter 12, beginning with about verse 9. And there's an emphasis there on the tribulation, and then there's an emphasis upon 1,290 days. And then there's an emphasis there on 1,335 days. All of this is recorded, if you just look it up, in Daniel chapter 12, down from verse 7 on down through the end of the chapter. Now, what I want you to do today is to get into verses 16 through 19. But I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot with this because I want to come back to verse 15. But let me just mention this, and we'll get back into it again later. Verse 16 gives us a response of the 24 elders. You can see that if you'll read verse 16. They worship because of a new aspect of God's plan had gone into action, which is the fourth and final dispensation of the age of Christ, known as the millennium. That is the background of the verse 16 of Revelation chapter 11. In verse 17, these elders give thanks that the angelic conflict has come to its correct conclusion. I realize that these words are very important for you to take them down and understand what is being presented. Verse 17, these elders give thanks that the angelic conflict has come to its correct conclusion. Jesus Christ here is called, O Lord God Almighty. It's amazing to me to see how God, in His magnificent Word, puts together these words right here. O Lord God Almighty. Then I wrote myself a little note to respond, to share with you, and I'm responding now to myself. When Jesus Christ came the first time, He did not use His divine power to rule the earth. He left everything in the hands of man's choice, and religion rejected Him. And all of you are aware of that. Let me repeat. Note, when Jesus Christ came the first time, He did not use His divine power to rule the earth. He left everything in the hands of man's choice, and religion rejected Him. Perhaps I need to tell you that you and I need to have in our thinking an emphasis on the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we come to verse 18, verse 18 is at the end of the millennium with a revolt of Satan. Now let me tell you that there are two things happening here. First of all, there is the time of the end of the church age, the age of grace, when all believers are taken out. Now you have to get that in your mind. Also understand that on the earth during the time of the tribulation, there will be individuals who will accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and they will move into the millennium in their physical bodies. Keep that in mind. It was a question that came at the close of the first service, and I wanted to give a little bit more detail about that, and that is that there will be children born to those individuals in the millennium. Now, keep that in mind, that this is a 1,000-year period of time. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm aware of the fact that a lot of children can be born in 1,000 years. So you think with me about that. Also, I want you to understand that there will be individuals born to those parents of believers in the millennium who will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And as a result of that, Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. But at the end of the millennium, the scripture says Satan will be loose for a season. And at the time that Satan is loose for a season, then there will be the harnessing of these unbelievers in their attitude of hostility toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will be that which forms the Gog-Magog revolution. Now, in case you didn't get that, we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday night, more in detail than now. Verse 18 is at the end of the millennium with a revolt of Satan. So in between verse 17 and verse 18, we have the presentation of the millennium. Now you'll notice in verse 18, it talks about nations angry. We'll talk about that in detail. That's the hostility of the unbelievers reacting to perfect environment. And then it talks about the wrath to come, which is divine judgment, called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now that lets me know that what I need to do in these moments that I have here is to present some things about the millennial reign of Christ. And if I have time, I would like to deal with just a very few points on the Great White Throne Judgment. In your mind, you ought to be able to see the diagram that we presented at the beginning. And I don't have it on this one, but I have it on one of these. And that is, I don't have it on this one either. I have it on the diagram that presents the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, so much for the interruption for myself, but let's begin with the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to call this the characteristics of the millennial reign. First of all, number one, there will be no religion on the earth. The greatest source of evil today is religion. Now, I know that sometimes words just pass right over you, but I want you to get this. The greatest source of evil is religion. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the millennium, there will be great spirituality, as described by the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 28, by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 65, verse 24, in Zechariah chapter 14, 16, and 17. Let me let you see, there will be great spirituality in the millennium. Now, in parentheses, I'm giving you something now, which is an interruption. I'm interrupting myself, and I'm interrupting your thinking, so you'll be able to see something. There will be great spirituality in the millennium. In the church age, however, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, absent from the earth in His humanity. Therefore, let's see. Okay. I want to be sure that I've got this right. In the church age, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, absent from the earth in His humanity. Therefore, there's an emphasis upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the time of the age of grace. During the millennium, there will be an exclusion of ecstatics, emotions. Ecstatics will not be harmful to the body at that time. I think I have some other things. Okay. I'm holding it in my hand, so that's the reason why I don't have it up the screen. Okay. I've never had so much fun in all my life. That's number page number one. This is page number two. The parentheses again. In the church age, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, absent from the earth in his humanity. Therefore, the filling of the Holy Spirit in the church age glorifies Christ, actually produces the character of Christ. Therefore, the emphasis of the church age is not on emotions. You know you are filled not by the way you feel, but by the Word of God. 1 John 1:9. We all know this. You can be depressed and filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be in pain and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be emotional or non-emotional and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to interrupt to tell you that there's a difference between what we have now on the earth and what the millennium will be like. You can be in pain, you can be emotional or non-emotional. In the millennium, however, the Lord Jesus Christ will be present on the earth, and the filling of the Holy Spirit will include ecstatics, emotions. Ecstatics will not be harmful to the body at that time. Today, prolonged ecstatics disturbs the nervous system. Extreme religious highs and lows often result in periods of great depression. In the millennium, there will be perfect health. Therefore, the body will be equipped for proper emotional responses. There will be no diseases, sicknesses of any kind. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Satan will not be there to take emotion and turn it into something false. I just really would like to know where your thinking is as I'm dealing with this. I want you to see the difference between the age of grace and the millennium. Today, Satan will take people's emotions and turns those emotions into things that are false. Biblical truth in the soul of the believer while on the earth tempers the emotions and makes life most enjoyable. I could get into a long discussion here, but I'm trying to give you a quick summary and review of the facts that we need to understand the difference between the filling of the Holy Spirit and being under the control of our emotions. So much for that. Number three, Israel will be restored as a nation of born-again individuals. The baptism of fire will have already taken out the unbelievers. And the baptism of fire, as we've said over and over again, is a down payment on the lake of fire for all the unbelievers of the tribulation. This is presented to us in Isaiah 35:3-10, 65:19, Zechariah 8:20-23. Number four, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 reveals that there will be no military, no weapons, no war. There will be universal peace. His peace is because of the personal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the millennium. In the millennium, number five, there will be universal prosperity. This is described for us vividly in Psalm 72:7 and 16, Isaiah 65. It will be free enterprise operating on the gold system. How fantastic. Number six, the Bible reveals very vividly that during the millennium, there will be universal knowledge of God. Isaiah 11:9. Not everyone will accept Jesus Christ as Savior, but everyone will know about God, because the Bible says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Number seven, there will be perfect environment in the millennium under the Lord Jesus Christ, as depicted in Zechariah 14:9, Isaiah 11:1-2, Psalm 72. Many of you are not taking notes because you're aware of the fact that one of these days this is going to be handed to you in print, so you're just relaxing and enjoying listening, and that's okay. Number 8, there will be radical changes in nature, according to Romans 8, 19 to 22. This is so fantastic. I don't have time to get into it, but I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the earth was affected by that disobedience. And so in Romans, the Bible talks about the fact that the earth is groaning for the time when all this change will take place. It's fantastic. So in the book of Romans, it deals with the three different types of groanings. We're not going to get into that now. There will be perfect environment in the millennium under the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 14:9, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, Psalm 72. There will be radical changes in nature. And we've already mentioned that, Romans 8, 19 to 22, Isaiah 11, 6 and 9, 6 through 9, Isaiah chapter 35, 1 and 2, Isaiah 65, 25. The weather will be perfect, plenty of water, no deserts. Number 9, there will be perfect administration of justice in the millennium, Isaiah 11, 3 and 4, Psalm 72, 12 through 14. Capital punishment will be practiced. Crime will be almost nil because of perfect law enforcement. Some of you may not understand what I mean when I say capital punishment will be practiced. It is possible for parents to have children in the time of the millennium who refuse God's plan in various areas of life, and it comes to a point where capital punishment becomes a necessity. Number 10. The lost will be removed from the earth at the beginning of the millennium. They will exist again in the millennium as they are born, children born, and not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. But at the beginning, all the unbelievers are removed by the baptism of fire. This was a question that came at the middle of our service today at the break time. The lost will be removed from the earth at the beginning of the millennium. They will exist again in the millennium as the children of parents during that time do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But at the beginning, they will be removed, all unsaved, by the baptism of fire, presented to us in Ezekiel 20, Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Luke 3, 16, Matthew 13, Matthew 24. Number 11, life is extended in the millennium. And the only people who will die will be people who die because of capital punishment. That's the reason for the fantastic population explosion. Isaiah 65, 20. Multitudes being born, few leaving, results in population explosion. Now, let me tell you something. I am excited. I can go back now, let you take a look in our diagram. You'll see it on the screen. You'll see the tribulation. Please follow me as I point this out. Second Advent, the end of the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, the millennium, 75 days, you'll remember in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, the millennium, the Gog Revolution, and then the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is the last judgment. Let me simply tell you, number one, people who do not face God's justice in time will receive divine justice in eternity. The Great White Throne Judgment is described for us in John 5:22. Let's follow now. The last judgment is the alternative to salvation. God is perfect in righteousness and justice. He found a way in time to keep from compromising these two characteristics. The Lord Jesus Christ did this by way of what is known as propitiation. Propitiation is just a big word that simply means satisfaction. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, the Heavenly Father said to resurrected humanity, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That simply means that the Heavenly Father was propitiated or satisfied with the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. God found a way in time to keep from compromising these two characteristics, righteousness and justice. He did so by means of propitiation. Let's look at this number two. The human race is categorized in two areas. One is believer, the other unbeliever. In the area of believer, perceptive, who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel in John 3:18, which says, "He that believeth is not condemned." That's one category. The other category is the unbeliever. This is the person who's negative, non-perceptive, one who has rejected Jesus Christ. It spells eternal condemnation, because John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Number three, in the last judgment, the great white throne judgment, the unbeliever is under indictment based on rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. John 16:9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Revelation chapter 20, this I referred to many, many times. Revelation 20 verse 15 says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's Revelation 20:15. That's a passage of scripture that talks about the book being open and the books being opened. We're not studying that now. Number four, no believer is involved in the last judgment, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Roman numeral 5, the unbeliever has two appointments with God. One, death, last judgment. It is appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, 27, 28. The second appointment is kept by the second resurrection. According to John chapter 5, 24 to 29. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Notice, if you will, please, God takes all unbelievers and resurrects them at the end of time, after the Gog revolution, for the great white throne judgment. I trust that in your mind you're putting the timeline and you're putting this down. The second appointment is kept by a second resurrection. This is depicted for us beautifully in John chapter 5, 24 through 29. And in Daniel 12, 2. God takes all the unbelievers and resurrects them at the end of time, after the Gog, Magog revolution, for the great white throne judgment. Number seven, the resurrected unbeliever is condemned on the basis of what? His sin? No. On the basis of the fact that he rejected the greatest gift that's ever been offered to mankind, and that's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The scripture says in Revelation 20, 12 and 13, that he's condemned on the basis of works of the flesh, upon human good, upon what he was depending upon for salvation. A lot of people try to depend upon church membership for salvation. Others try to depend upon baptism for salvation. Others try to depend upon trying to keep the Ten Commandments for salvation. That's not the way it goes. That's not the way it is. Jesus said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." The resurrected unbeliever is condemned on the basis not of his sin. His sin was bought and paid for. He's condemned on the basis of the fact that he's rejected the greatest gift ever to be offered to mankind, salvation through Jesus Christ. Number eight, the eternal state of the lost is the lake of fire forever, described in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. This is a sad passage of scripture indeed. "Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for" what? "The devil and his angels." We're going to close our service now. in the last moments of our service are committed to those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. How fantastic it is for us to realize that when God loved, He loved the world. That when Christ died, He died for everyone. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life." Those of you who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, no matter where you are, anywhere in this world today, if you will accept Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you'll be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." How fantastic it is to realize that a moment's decision can make it possible for a person to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in a place of eternal bliss. Please, please, my friend, don't reject the greatest gift ever offered to man, and that's the gift of salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can trust Him now. Do that, please. Not for my sake, but for your sake. Jesus said, "But as many as received Him," that's Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." Father, thank You so very much for every opportunity which we have to present the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're aware of the fact that our life on the earth at the longest is so extremely short. And so help us while we're here to magnify the name of our Savior and honor Him in the things we say and do. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.